The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we're back. It is episode 189, somewhere around there, I think. It's match week 15 roundup. You got myself. You got Michael. We're already starting off on a bad foot. I am taking the Man City form to new heights here on this podcast. Michael, what's going on, dude?
Nothing, man. Just got off work. Walk the dogs. My arms are out of their socket right now from them pulling me. And yeah, I'm ready to talk some footy.
You're babysitting our sister's dog, correct?
Yes. She's lovely. She's a cute girl. She walks like a psychopath, though.
Yeah. She's a little nut. She's like the opposite of Josie. Josie, it's like you honestly have to lobby her to keep walking the whole time. And you're like, come on, come on, come on. Bailey is pretty much a wind-up toy. For the most part, that's always wound up. So
you never have to a self-winding wind-up toy.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got that going on. I myself am just wallowing in what is the great downfall of the Manchester City Football Club.
Love to see that.
I'm sure we'll get into it. Dylan and Nick unable to make it. We're recording this early on a Thursday. It's going to come out Friday morning. We're recording it early, too. I got a dodgeball game today, dude. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is this like a tournament? Is this like a league? Like, where do you guys sit? Are you top of the table, or are you fighting relegation?
No, I appreciate you asking. No relegation in this, so it's very American.
Cowards. Cowardice.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd have to start at the bottom, though. But you play best of five dodgeball. Then you play that same team at a bar, like four blocks down, best of seven flip cup. Now, dodgeball, we're still getting our sea legs under us because we're the oldest people in the league. But, like, bar none. We have the most marriages. We have the most people over 30. We are just wily vets when it comes to the old dodgeball. So week one, we won the first game big. And I think we just lost all like momentum and all like energy. And then we got beat in dodgeball. But we go to the bar. We're playing these kids, I will call them, because they're all 22 and 24. They've only lived in the city for like 3 months. And we sweep them 4-0 in Flip Cup. So, like, we're just the old drunks in this league. Last week, we win in dodgeball because now we're getting some strategy going. We're actually talking about when to throw, when not to throw, et cetera, et cetera. Down 3-1 in Flip Cup later that night, come all the way back. 4-3 for a dub. You get 2 points for the dodgeball win. You get 1 point for the Flip Cup win. So, we're sitting on 4 points right now.
So that we were talking, I think, last week when you were doing this, just if you're in the, like, 27 to, like, 33, 34 range, I don't know what was going on at universities in the U.S., but you are just a seasoned Flip Cup god. Like, yeah. Everybody that's my age and a little bit older, we all absolutely dominate Flip Cup, and then everybody that I know that's younger than me, they're like, we don't play this game. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I personally hate Flip Cup. Like, it's not a fun game. It's not a game that brings, like, people together or anything. But, God, I will never lose Flip Cup.
The only Flip Cup game that I actually enjoy is Elimination Flip Cup, where it's like, if your team loses, you lose a person. You got to keep drinking the same amount. I like that. But I think you're right. I mean, I'm 34. I think, though, our age was the beginning of the flip-a-sance, essentially, of, like, these people going to college now know how to play Flip Cup. We're going to be a tough out Flip Cup wise. I think it'll be tough to get us no points in a week, because even if we fuck up and lose at dodgeball, we have a, what did the Warriors call it when it's like we're going to score and we're not going to give up points lineup? We have a death lineup, essentially, where we love all of our wives, but when we were down 3-1, we did some adjusting, we did some subbing, and we had one flip and done, like, four straight for a couple people. You, like, it was a death lineup.
You did the chair lean. When you're playing the game, you did the chair lean.
Yeah.
And then you also did the hat backwards. Literally were like, all right, fuck this.
We got locked in, down 3-1. Didn't appreciate our good friend of the podcast, Ian, yelling out, "We're the Cubs!" I was like, man, that's pretty fucked up way to bring back that trauma for me as a Guardians fan.
We're the Cavs.
We're the Cavs. Yeah, I should have said that. But, yeah, so we got a big game of dodgeball later today that we're going to get into, and hopefully I'm not late for it. Starts at 7. We're doing this at, like, 5. I should be fine. It's only 3 stops on the subway.
Yeah,
good. Dude, it was a crazy... It was a crazy week, but it wasn't, but it was, kind of. I shit the bed, prediction-wise, which I'm sure we'll get into here in a second. But there were some upsets. We're definitely going to talk about City. We're definitely going to talk about Newcastle-Everton, which happened today. And, you know, we're not going to talk as much about Tottenham-West Ham, but that was a big result as well. First things first, we got to do our dudes of the week. Michael, you were so gracious off-camera to give me the number one pick. I will accept it. But by giving me the number one pick, I'm going to pay it forward. And he's been the dude of the week multiple times now, I think. But I got to shout him out. Unai Emery, is he the coach of the year? Like the calendar year?
It's a situation where with... I mean, it's not like he has nothing, but with what he has comparatively to other clubs, like City, Liverpool, Spurs even, they make those guys, I mean, those guys are an absolute machine, especially at home. 14 wins in a row, and then I know we'll get into it, the last time they lost at home was to Arsenal, and they're going to get to avenge that for a club record 15 this weekend.
Yeah, pretty insane. I mean, we've been saying it all year. I think this is the one year where it's like winning on the road is so hard. Spoiler alert, we'll get to that in a second. Who's your... Give me your next two dudes of the week.
Okay, so I'm going to go to... I'm going to hope that you're going to call another guy out. Shout another guy out. So I'm going to skip him. I'm going to go Andoni Iraola first. Has Bournemouth on an absolute tear right now. I think I looked last 5 games. 3 wins, a draw, and a loss. The loss was obviously a big one to City. But they're cooking right now. They got that away win against Crystal Palace 2-0. Just think that this is kind of what we were promised, or what we thought it would be at the beginning of the year.
It's what Craig promised us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm loving that it got to this point, because there was a time where it might not have been, and we might have lost Iraola to the he might have been the first manager out. This instead it was Heckenbottom. But I'm happy that they're moving and cruising right now. And then second, I know Nick's not here, and I know a couple other United fans that bitch and complain about this guy, but he's the only guy scoring goals for you right now. I gotta go Scotty McSauce, man. Two goals to get the win over Chelsea. Don't know what his position is. It might be a situation where Joe Linton couldn't score any goals, but he's an absolute beast in the midfield. Maybe, like, McTominay just needs to be, like, a second striker guy flying in the box. Like, maybe that's his new role.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast earlier this morning, and they really tried hard to make his nickname McTomapele, and it sounded better when that person said it than how I just said it, but I still kind of gave it a 3 out of 10. McSauce, I don't know if Nick created that or if that's just a normal thing. Like, that's a good one. Like, I can do mixed sauce all day.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a 7. It's not great, but it's a 7.
It's not perfect, no.
Yeah. All right, I got 2 unique ones, so I'm going to leave you to pick the person that you left me to pick as your last pick. 2 unique ones. One, in round 2, it's more of a life lesson pick. Michael, you're a big Batman fan, right? The old
love
saying...
Him.
You know, die a hero, live long enough to be a villain type of thing.
Yeah.
I just want to put the alert out to big boy Roy Hodgson. We're not looking good, buddy. It might be time to step away again. It's not a good look to tell your fans that they're spoiled. after you lose. I'm just saying. Like, just general...
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up later, but just general advice, you know, maybe the time that the bell is tolled for our guy here, let's just move on.
We always say that, though.
I know, and then they bring him back. So maybe it's actually Palace's fault, but at the same time, love the phrase. Anytime I get the chance to use it, I try to. Roy Hodgson, more of a life lesson one. Get out while the getting's good. Don't stay, overstay your welcome. And then my last pick is super niche. It's why I love soccer, though. It's why I love a game that is played in every country pretty much in the entire world. This could be a shout-out to Football Manager. This could be a shout-out to whoever in the modding community put this together. But you're looking at the manager of Onces Lobos in the El Salvadorian Premier Division because your boy secured promotion today. Third place in the second division. We're going up to the Premier Division. We're playing teams like Alianza. We're trying to get into the CONCACAF Champions League. I just signed this 18-year-old striker, El Salvadorian striker, named Jesus Quintanilla, and he looks like a beast. I think that we're going to get mid-table this season. I can keep you guys updated throughout the season if you would like. But I'm hoping mid-table this year, maybe CONCACAF Champions League spots next year, and then don't tell them this, but I'm trying to hightail maybe the South America or Europe right afterwards. So big shout out to me, Onces Lobos. They're the type of team that's so small that they don't have a team website. It's just a Facebook. Love it.
Wow. That's...
Yeah.
If you're relying on Facebook in today's day and age, like, we're...
Yeah, we're
in trouble.
Facebook in countries like El Salvador is pretty much the internet, so...
Yeah, you make a good point. Not like the U.S. Facebook, which is, like, actual brain rot. All right, so I see that, you know, since reality is not going so well for you, you've just completely devolved yourself into fictional shit. So, I don't know. I'm pretty sure you saw the game. It would be absolutely insane if we did not shout out Leon Bailey.
Criminal, some would say.
Yes. That's what I thought you would... I was like, I'm trying to give you the easy one here. Absolutely unbelievable performance. I was saying that if he plays like that for Jamaica against the U.S., he single-handedly beats the U.S. Doesn't matter. He was killing Vardiol on that right side, or Vardiol's left side, whatever. And it was just one of those things where I know the goal was deflected. It was probably looked like it was going towards Ederson for a save, but yeah. he was getting a goal. Like, he was going to get one. So, shout out to him. Unbelievable performance.
As we're going to talk later, didn't matter. If it's deflected or not, they deserved it. And by no stretch of the imagination did we come close to sniffing a goal. Like I said, we'll talk about that later. All right, dudes of the week, done and dusted. Michael, there's also something that I'm going to tie in here. If you have a chance, go read that Time Person of the Year article about Taylor Swift. It's hilarious.
Doesn't she shit on, like, Kim Kardashian?
Anyone who could put Kim Kardashian in an absolute... fucking body bag, hypothetically, verbally, I'm all here for. The trash takes itself out is one of the greatest lines ever told, in my opinion.
She said that?
Yeah. Go off, queen. Go off, Times Person of the Year. Let's get into... Hey,
this might be a pander, but shout out to you.
Shout out to Taylor Swift.
Good job.
All right, let's get into this week's games. Like I said... There's eight we're going to fly through, two that we're going to spend a little bit more time with. We're going to start with Wolves. 1-0 win over Burnley. That Korean guy, Hwang, with another goal. And all 3 points go to Wolves. Big midweek win for Dylan. This game almost would have been one we talked about. Luton Town 3, Arsenal 4. It was down to the wire. Martinelli opened the scoring in the 20th minute. Osho in the 25th. Jesus got them back on top in the 45th, Adebayo in the 49th. This was just back and forth. You're at 2-2 at that point. Luton takes the lead for a very brief moment, 3 minutes to be exact, off the foot of Ross Barkley, of all people. Kai Havertz tied it up in the 60th, and then 7 minutes into stoppage time, Declan Rice with the game-winning goal, 3 points to Arsenal. Brighton 2, Brentford 1. Pascal Gross in the 31st is what tied it, because Mbeumo scored in the 27th to open the scoring for Brentford. Caught myself there. And then Hinchelwood, 18-year-old, with the game-winning goal for Brighton. This guy came out of nowhere from our perspective, but again, listen to a podcast this morning. He is of a fourth-generation lineage of professional footballers in England. So Brighton, as always, doing their scouting. I mentioned Roy Hodgson. They lose to Bournemouth 2-0. Senesi in the 25th and Moore in the 90th minutes give all 3 points to Bournemouth. Like I said, Hodgson calls out his fans in that one for booing at the end of the game. Fulham, a 5-0 waxing of Nottingham Forest. It was Iwobi in the 30th, Raul Jimenez in the 34th, and then again in the 54th, Iwobi again in the 73rd, and Carney in the 86th. Steve Cooper is supposed to be getting fired in mere moments. That's a report that I read and that I heard and that I saw. So we'll have to keep you updated there. Sheffield United and Liverpool came together. It's the Chris Wilder new manager bump game. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. Van Dijk in the 37th, Szoboszlai in the 4th minute of stoppage time. 2-0 win for Liverpool. United 2-1 over Chelsea. Also a close game, like Michael mentioned. Mick Soss with 2 goals, one in the 19th minute to give him the lead. Cole Palmer ties it up in the 45th, and then McTominay with the winner in the 69th. Nice. And then Tottenham, West Ham, the game that finished just moments ago. Ramiro opened the scoring for Tottenham in the 11th, but Jared Bowen in the 52nd and James Ward-Prowse in the 74th give all 3 points to the visiting Hammers, Irons of West Ham. Michael, there is one theme that I do want to talk about, and we can start off with this. Let's just start off with this because I think it's kind of a good place to start. Palace lose 2-0. Chris Wilder's already the first manager to replace Higginbottom. He got fired, I think, a week ago, right?
Heckenbottom.
So Sheffield's with a new coach. Nottingham Forest, like I just mentioned, Steve Cooper on the hottest of hot seats. It's already been reported that he will be fired. And then we got our good friend Vincent Kompany that, you know, is flirting with that line at all times. With the state of the Premier League this season, if you are Palace with Hodgson, or if you are, I don't know, any other team that is looking to get a new coach in this season, do you think this is the best time to do it? Because we're pretty certain that those bottom three teams are already kind of signed, sealed, and delivered for the most part.
So I was just thinking about this too, because the Steve Cooper thing is interesting to me. They signed him. They were pretty close to relegation last year, mm-hmm. and they like re-signed him, or he got a new contract for like, I don't know exactly how many years. It was like 4 or 5 years or something. Like, they were like committing hard to him. If there was a year to like stick with a guy that you think it's going to come good on, this is the year, because like you said, Sheffield United are terrible. Burnley aren't very good either. Luton, I was going to ask, you know, they got like Newcastle, Chelsea, United, and Villa still to play at Luton. You can see maybe them pulling off a win, because it's tough to play there. We know we've got a draw there, and then Arsenal almost got a draw there as well. I think if you're like, if for Hodgson, because I just don't think you're going to evolve under Hodgson, maybe now. Because there's not a lot of pressure, you know, you're not feeling it from the bottom. But I really don't know. I couldn't tell you. I know that the Nottingham Forest is looking for Julian Lopetegui. Mm-hmm. I think that's a progressive move to a degree.
Would drive Dylan absolutely wild.
Yeah, because it really is, in that case, it's just like, how much money can I spend?
Yeah. I do think that those are the two teams, though. Like, if I look at... You got your bottom three. You got Luton, Burnley, Sheffield. Like I said, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but because Everton won today, it does look like these are the three worst teams in the league and that they're probably going to be relegated. Now, if I look at everyone else, Everton at 17, Forest at 16, Bournemouth at 15, Palace at 14, Wolves 13, Fulham 12. Brentford is at 11, but 11 up, those are teams that I think are creating an identity, have a coach that they like, et cetera, et cetera. I feel like the only two in there that this is a possibility for are Forest and Palace. Because you can argue that Fulham are in this place just because they don't have that good of players right now. And the reason that they're in 12th is because of how good that coach is. It is how I feel about that. Yeah. Wolves?
I think Silva's definitely a step, right now, a step above those. I don't know, man. I like Steve Cooper, but it's not working right now for some reason.
Yeah. Wolves, Homie's doing a great job at Wolves. Especially for the situation he was in at Bournemouth and then just getting thrown in there. Bournemouth, I think they want to keep trying to get Iraola working, and it seems like maybe it is working now with the games that they have. Sure. And, like, if you're in 17th, I think Sean Dyche is probably the best coach you got in Everton. So that leaves... Okay,
just on that point real quick, they're actually... So they're not, because they have lost 10 points. Mm-hmm. They're actually on 20 points. They would be 10th in the table right now.
Yeah, they'd be ahead of Chelsea.
That is... I mean, first person that, you know, was, like, Everton down, that's, like, way better than I thought they would be. So, all the credit to them. Like, that's actually working over there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's the thing. Now, we can get into this. I don't think we should on this pod because it'll take forever. I do think Palace needs to make a move. I do think that it's time. I do think that, like, they lose that game. They boo. And Hodgson's first move in the post-game press conferences. Our fans are a little bit spoiled. We usually play really well at home. We're just not right now. Interesting tactic.
Yeah. Also, in the context of, like, what he actually said, we're just not playing well. I guess calling them spoiled is, like, not good, but it's not, like, insane.
No.
To say.
Not wrong, I don't think, but
no,
still.
But I just think maybe you could have worded it a little bit better, probably.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking at. It also allowed us to kind of get rid of this Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Palace, Bournemouth game. Because outside of Bournemouth playing really, really well, that's all I really wanted to touch on. Before we move on to some of the other ones, what's your Liverpool roundup? How'd you guys look? How do you feel about this game?
So I just think we're always going to give up opportunities. I think that's just how we kind of play defense. We're going to allow you to maybe get a counter here or there. Sheffield United had a couple. I thought defensively otherwise we were really good. And I thought Endo was great. Got a start after getting that goal against Fulham. Trent, third game in a row where he's just been like the absolute difference maker. And then you cap it off with the most Darwin Nunez play ever. Literally loses the ball, runs after it, tackles, gets it back, and assists Szoboszlai. So I thought it was what you needed to do in that game, because obviously if you lose a Sheffield United home or away, not good. So it is what it is. I thought it was a good enough performance to just keep pace.
Yeah. Don't disagree. Wolves beat Burnley. I was one of the lone people that had like a draw here. I was the only person that had a draw here. I'm not seeing the board with Burnley very well. Yeah, I was an idiot last week. Wolves, they keep trucking. They're obviously safe. Like, we're good. I don't know what else you want to say. Gary O'Neill.
No, I think you're right. I think
fire.
Huang is good. Gary O'Neill's good. I think they got enough guys that are just machines, like Lamina, Cunha. I think they got enough guys that they're going to be able to turn some losses into draws and some draws into wins.
Yeah. All right. Now the interesting ones. Luton Arsenal. You've said it. I'm waiting for you to say it again. And I want to see if you know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
Arsenal's top of the league.
Not super worried. So it's tough though, because I'm not scared. I wasn't scared so much because they're not scoring, and I know they're scoring against Luton. So maybe like this is the perspective you have to take, is like you should be scoring against Luton, right? We had that same fixture. We scored one goal and we tied. So I can't sit here and be like, they look terrible, they should do better, whatever, and they actually got a better result than us. there are some, obviously, some frailties defensively. And, you know, you can't, you're not always going to be able to come back from that. But again, in the same breath, we almost lost to Fulham at home and we had the same result. So, you know, until maybe it's just a one-off, but I think they're probably the bookies' favorite right now, I would imagine.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the thing that I always go back to is Nick mentioned this on a pod a few pods back where it's like they're grinding out wins. And I'm like, true, they're grinding out wins again in December. If history tells us anything, it's to pay attention to what happened in history so you don't repeat it. Until this team wins a title, I kind of am just going to assume that there's going to be games in February, March, April that they're going to grind out and they're going to draw or they're going to lose because that's their track record.
Well, again, too, I know I maybe mentioned this off pod, but the next, what is it? Like the next couple games for us are all games that we, you know, are definitely going to be favored in. And then we play United and Arsenal, both at home. So that's, you know, huge for us. I would expect after this period of like four or five games that we would jump them because we play them at home. They have to play Villa this week, which is going to be a tough game. If they're on top, like into the new year, then I think you have to start saying, okay, you know, even though last year they I don't want to say bottled it because, like, you know, I think everyone was saying just wait till you get into that last stretch of games with City. But it is starting to, you know, become worrisome that you guys aren't going to be that same team that can rattle off 10 straight wins or whatever. So then, you know, if there's not a chaser, then if you lose a couple games, it doesn't matter. So I just think this like, December period into the new year is going to be really, really interesting for separation of the, like the top four or five teams.
Yeah, no doubt. Brighton and Brentford, this is, I don't know what you do with this game. Like, where are we at?
So
Ivan Toney's cheering for Arsenal in a hospital bed. Like, that's odd. I don't know.
There's just they're in like a bucket with Palace where I just don't, and like Fulham a little bit, where I just don't know game to game where to place them a lot of the time. Yeah. Like Brighton could be really good, but they also could lose to Everton, which actually Everton might be not that bad. And Brentford, I think they pull off some big wins. They also lose some games. Fulham, same thing. I think those are just kind of 50-50s a lot of the time. So not shocked by this. I wouldn't be shocked if Brighton would have lost, though.
Yeah, Brighton also in eighth place, oddly enough, and now doing a lot better in Europe. United, that 2-1 win over Chelsea. I kind of feel bad. I wish Nick were here because I want to tell him to his face, maybe I got this wrong. I think that they're still better off than Chelsea are. And I didn't a little bit ago. I thought it was Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm going to, motherfucker who commented at us, you know who you are if you ever see another one of our videos. Probably not. I'm going to double down. Caicedo, Enzo, don't do enough. They don't do enough for how much you paid for them, what they're supposed to be doing. They looked lost this game. And they're getting bullied in a United midfield. They're running around. They have no clue what's going on. And I don't think anybody on this podcast, even our United friend Nick, thinks that United are all that great. And I don't know if I picked Chelsea to win. I thought they were just the better team. And I've already forgot 2 weeks ago where I said, I think you're just going to have to like pick and choose. And they could either win and you could be like, okay, maybe they're figuring out. And then you get humbled immediately after that. And you're like, we have no idea. So I just think those are the two guys you're supposed to be leaning on every game. That's your spine a little bit, are those two pivots. And at least in this game, and Caicedo last game, they just don't do enough right now. And I don't know if that's because, I don't think it's because they're not good enough. I think there's both really good players in there. I don't know if Pochettino's not getting what he needs to get out of those guys.
Yeah. Also, funny enough, we were talking about Amrabat last week. This is probably the best game he's ever had in a United jersey.
He looked great.
Yeah. As a City fan, I miss Cole Palmer a little bit, but I'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it's hard to argue the Enzo thing at this moment just because I think we have seen him do great things in an Argentina jersey, maybe, right? So it's like, I've seen it happen before, but it may be that the surrounding players in that Argentina camp are better than these Chelsea players, and that could, you know, play into it. I will stick my flag back into the ground here on this one. I don't think Moises Caicedo is very good. He could be.
So the thing, though, is at Brighton, he was really good. And then all the shit came out about him wanting to leave. And then De Zerbi, you know De Zerbi, he just was like, you're not going to ever play again, basically. And he didn't. So it might be a situation where he, weirdly enough, is like still trying to get back into it, back into like some form that he had. At Brighton, he was good. But I also think there is a more clear understanding of what you're supposed to do at your position at Brighton than there is at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm going, is it Pochettino a little bit that is not getting the message across what he's supposed to be doing?
He could be a system midfielder, so to speak.
And he could be a really, really good system midfielder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't know.
I gotcha. Tottenham.
Right now, he looks like a bad midfielder.
Yeah, for sure. Like a not very good player. Jekyll and Hyde, speaking of Tottenham. 2-1 loss to West Ham. Again, I do feel like some of these games, we're getting to the point now where we know enough about each of these teams, but they're not enough to separate. Like, you picked West Ham. You texted before the game started, like, what the fuck was I thinking picking West Ham? Lo and behold,
I couldn't remember why.
Yeah. It was at Tottenham. Made no sense. You probably thought it was, like, post-hangover tie to City, right?
I think it was literally because I knew at home Spurs would, like, definitely go for it. You know, they'd be on the front foot, and Ange is just always going to be on the front foot. I thought that West Ham's defense would be good enough and they would be able to counter the shit out of them. And I just don't think those center backs, and actually not even center backs at Spurs right now, wouldn't be good at defending people on the counter. I didn't agree. Like, literally a day later, I didn't agree with my own assessment, but that's what I put. So I had to stick with it. So
yeah, all I'll say is if this Kulusevski showed up against City, we won 4-0. It was pretty annoying. But I digress.
Rats.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I'll spend a little bit of time on this one just because it's a shock result. Everton 3-0 win over Newcastle. My good friend Dwight McNeil, 79th minute, got the first goal. Decore in the 86th with the second. And Beto, not O'Rourke, in the 6th minute of stoppage time, give the Toffees all 3 points. I want to say this first and foremost because I kind of think there's a different conversation to have about this game, and it's more about Everton. But I think this just proves that week in, week out, midweek games for a lot of these teams who are new to Europe that play midweek games now more often than ever, going on the road and going on the road to a very emboldened Goodison Park that is upset, that is angry. This is going to be a tough game for the rest of the season, I think. Even if they're out of the relegation zone, I think Everton have a point to prove here. And I think this is honestly, I hate saying this. Not hate it. I don't hate Everton. But, like, this is a decent team.
Yeah. this is the only thing I will say. Again, same lineup has now played 2 weeks straight, 4 games total. And there was not a sub for Newcastle until the 90th minute. So they basically all played full 90s for four straight games in 2 weeks. I think, and I didn't get to watch this because I was working, so I'm leaning on you a little bit here. 79th minute, 86 in the 90th? Was it just wind out of the sails? Did they look bad from the beginning, or did Everton just take the game over towards the end?
No. It was a little bit more of... It was an even match. I will say this: like, Everton had their opportunities. Everton had their momentum and their whatnot. I think if you're watching this game, in the first half, you are sitting there and you can identify who the better team is, right? Like, you're just like, all right, Everton's had some opportunities, but Newcastle have better players, are the better team. But through the length of the game, Everton didn't have as much possession, but they had 21 total shots. They had 6 shots on target. They had 3 big chances, and it, I feel like they converted all 3, to be honest with you. Well, they missed one big chance, so they converted 2 of the 3. And, like, their XG was 3.23. So, like, it wasn't even halftime. I think you're getting right to around 35 minutes, and to the point I think that you're trying to make here, there's just a step behind. That Newcastle team is just dogged. They're tired. I think that, yeah, like, Almiron has honestly not even really looked that good in the game against City. Like, he was all right, didn't look that good. I think he's exhausted. They just need some reinforcements, and I haven't taken a look at their injury. Like, when is everyone expected back? But they got to get him back in soon, because if it's the same lineup this weekend, it's going to be a much easier game for some team they're playing.
Yeah, I'm just looking, the first half XG for Everton is 1.99, so 13 total shots. So, and then they outpaced them the second half as well, albeit not a ton. So I think it's also just easier. Who did Newcastle? They had Chelsea, PSG, Man United. I think those are all games you're just getting up for mentally more than a trip to Everton at the same time. So
for sure. But this is why I do want to stick on this one. Like, what is the height of that Everton can go now? Like you said, if you don't take away those 10 points, they're in 10th place. They got 20 points.
I think they're closer. I think they're probably a worse version of West Ham, which is like right. I mean, I'm copping out here. West Ham are literally in 9th, so of course they'd be in 10th. But I think that they could be kind of a pain in the ass for some teams. Not like last year. Last year, they got behind, they rolled over. And this year, they're not giving up goals nearly as much. And two, they're scoring. They're actually putting the chances away. And all year, they've had really good XG in comparison to other teams around them.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. If you do the Brighton, West Ham, Chelsea, Brentford, Fulham, Wolves, that, like, 8 through 13, when they go on the road, they're suspect. When they're at home, they're a tough out. Like, I feel like each of those teams, you can describe them that way.
Yeah. So they are... So they're 9th in XG right now. They're actually ahead of United, Spurs, West Ham, teams like that, behind, you know, the teams you'd expect, Brighton, Arsenal, Villa. Brentford's actually way up there, too. So they're... Listen, they're performing way better than I thought they would. So, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to Everton. I haven't the past years because I thought they were going to get relegated all the time. So I'll take it. Sorry.
Yeah, so big win by Everton. Out of the relegation zone. We'd be remiss not to mention that Nick and Dylan called it, not a hot take or not a bold prediction. But Nick already wins his bold prediction from last week. They are out of the relegation zone by... Yeah, I know you're going to say they can get back in it, obviously, but at this moment...
Yes, so it needs to actually... When Boxing Day hits, they need to be out of it.
Yes, but they're sitting... Okay. They're out of it right now, and
I think they're fine.
It's well documented, those 3 teams behind them, not very good.
I told you, 25 to 30 points they'd need to lose.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the biggest shock and awe game of the weekend. Michael and I...
Not for me.
Michael and I watched it together, but online, essentially, just FaceTiming each other here and there. Villa 1, Man City 0, Leon Bailey, the Jamaican winger with the lone goal here. Interesting lineups by both teams. Villa came out in a 4-4-1-1, it looked like, which is it's odd. I don't know who some of these people in these positions are for City. I know who they are, but like Rico Lewis playing a midfield position, John Stones playing a midfield position. We're a mess. Look, I can break this game down defensively, midfield, striking, overall. I think it'll be a lot better podcasting if you kind of guide where you want this conversation to go, and then I can fill in my thoughts.
So I think we can both agree it was, I said at one point, it was the one of the most exciting nil-nils I've ever watched.
For one
I
side.
I actually rewatched. Yeah, but it was, there's just something about when you are the underdog, and they were, like, just because you are who you are, and you won the treble, and you've won three years in a row, you are always going to be a favorite. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So when you're the underdog, you're at home, and you are just pumping somebody, pumping a team that you know, in theory should not be taking it to like you are. There's just something like about watching that is just so fun, and so exciting and interesting. And I just couldn't believe how easy it was for them to do that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there watching like the highlights last night after like the game, because I didn't get to see like the first like 15 minutes, and I was watching and I saw like Haaland's two chances back to back, and I remembered that you had two shots on goal the whole game, and I literally thought to myself, I was like, this is it, this is all they had, and then after this it's all Villa the whole time. In terms of like the positions, listen, Stones plays a midfield position when he's next to Rodri.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the key thing. Not when he's next to Akanji. I thought he was Stones was pretty average. I thought Akanji made some bad passes too. I know he has a little bit better role, or better grade. I thought Alvarez, it's hard when you can't get involved. I thought Alvarez, Foden were like non-factors, period. Haaland was basically a non-factor apart from his two chances. I just thought you guys had no chance. I mean, if you were a Villa fan and you thought City were ever going to score, I would literally be like, come on. Like, what are you talking about? You're watching the same game I am.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go back to front. One, Ederson played great. Honestly, one of the best games I've seen him play in a long time. And that's about all the positive I have for the City team. Defense looks old. They're way out of position. Villa did a really, really good job of stretching out width-wise, like Walker and Guardiol, to have one-on-ones on the wing. Diaz then had to run back and forth, look terrible. They just look slow, they look old, they look tired. You can't put two former center backs, turned whatever they are, in the midfield. They got torched. John McGinn torched us. John McGinn.
Oh my God.
He should just show this tape to any team that ever wants to sign him. Torched Stones, torched Akanji, torched Walker. That back line was just so tired, so slow and so tired, and they looked terrible. Then it looked like a high school game a bit, because for us, you have that going on, those five players. And then you have a swath of space, and then you have that four-person line. Actually, it's a three-person line of Foden, Alvarez, and Lewis, just unable to connect the defense to the midfield. The only time you would is if you're taking your, like, Bernardo Silva just running around this way. Like, and it, for those of you listening and not watching on YouTube, I'm making a circle. Like, he had to go into the defense to get the ball, to bring the ball into the midfield to then bring it to the attack. We had no cohesion, no connection there.
Towards the end of the game, he literally picked the ball up behind your center backs, dribbled it up, and then still didn't have anything to do and just booted it forward to Haaland, and yep. Diego Costa just headed it out and the game ended.
Yeah. It was, the midfield was a non-existent. We had, like I told you, we essentially had four shallow attackers, one attacker way up. We had two really deep midfielders and then three defenders. And then you had Silva just doing this. Like, it's the worst game I've seen City play. And I said this last episode, it's one of the worst games I've seen play. This was actually, This was actually the worst game I've seen City play, but I also don't want to take anything away from Villa because that entire team was on fire. That is the best, yeah. That is the best press I've seen in the Premier League. Not even against us, in the Premier League since that end of season when you guys made the run to the Champions League final, lost to Madrid, and then won it the next season. That like time period of Liverpool football is the best I've seen for them. And that was the best press. Mm-hmm. This was a better press than that. Just because it was, and I said this in the post game, and I kind of agree with it, but it was like controlled. Like, I loved how athletic that Liverpool team was and how like Mane was in your face and Firmino was in your face. But this was a lot more controlled where it was like, we're not going to foul you. We're just going to take the ball. Like, there's no fouling. You're not going to get out of this by falling on the ground. We're going to take the ball. On the flip side, this is the worst press. We never were able to press. We got pinned down.
You guys couldn't get out of your own half either.
No, like we got pinned down so bad so often in this game. It was pathetic. We can't get the ball to Haaland. Like I said, there's no cohesion there. And then, look, I'm 34. But I hate doing this because these are just people doing their job. And I don't want anyone sitting over my shoulder telling me how to do my job. But, like, Mateja Kovacic, why? I want to give Chelsea money back to take him back. Same thing with Wolves. I don't understand the Nunez pickup. I guess I don't understand what he's here to do. I don't know his position at this point. I don't know the role. I don't know the job that he's here to do. And of any of the jobs that he's attempted to do, it's not been very good. Shout out to Oscar Bob. Great name. One, he actually came out and just drove at the defense anytime he got the ball. I'd rather that. But then, like, if you go on our bench, man, we only brought five people. Or we brought eight, but we only brought five additional people that we didn't then sub. Two of them are goalkeepers. One of them's Ake. I think he's saving Ake because he's going to start at the weekend. Calvin Phillips, he could have played in this game. What's worse than what happened? That's the thing that should be fucking people up. If you're a Calvin Phillips or a Kovacic fan, we put two center backs in midfield before we put them in midfield. That's literally what we did. Like,
that's like one of the first times, because we've never beaten you with a midfield. That is the first time I've ever seen. And again, like, to your point, you had two defenders in the midfield and then like three guys attacking midfielders. Yeah. And then you had Bernardo Silva. That's the first time where that midfield looked like it could have walked into your midfield.
Absolutely.
They probably could right now.
Yeah. Look, I want to bitch about City, but I don't want it to be the bitching that takes away from what Villa did, because Tielemans, Ollie Watkins, Kamara, Bailey, Douglas Luiz, McGinn, fucking Denier threw it in your face 1 week later. Kansa. Yeah.
Fucking dickhead.
Pau Torres, even homie Diego Carlos, like, they all played very well. This Villa team, this performance that they put in beats anyone in the Premier League. Anyone. It does very well in Europe.
I'm so scared. Yeah. They're like our second to last game of the year.
Yeah. They're good, and Unai knows what he's doing. I think he's the coach of the year so far. It's a really, really good team. Their bench too, I would take over ours right now. They brought on Diabe, they brought on Ramsey, Duran. They didn't even play Zaniola. They have Dendonker. Linlet, I guess. Dude, Matty Cash.
Alex Moreno is a player too.
Yeah, Alex Moreno. Look, and this is going to be my last point on it. People were giving us shit last year because we gave up Gabby, we gave up Zinny, and Arsenal were in the lead for most of the season. And they're like, you guys fucked up. You shouldn't have gotten rid of those players. You shouldn't have given them away. And it didn't matter, right? We won. We won a treble last year. This is the first year where I'm like, we gave up way too much. We have no depth. We have no depth whatsoever. And with the 115 charges looming, this January, we're not going to spend money. Because we can't. I'd be afraid to.
That's a sign of you did something wrong.
Not really.
I mean, a little bit. Like, if you were spending money and now you're not because of this, it's kind of heating up, then you're kind of like, we better be careful because, well, you know, we don't want to add on.
Look, worst game I've ever seen City play, best game I've ever seen played against City, maybe.
Probably. Is Pep on his petty tour now?
I mean, people love to just hate that guy. I guess I don't get it.
That was unprovoked. That was completely unprovoked.
Yeah.
He went after Micah, dude. That's your guy.
He's my guy. It is. I do think that there's a bit of lashing out going on in the Pep world right now. He did also come out and say that if we go back-to-back trebles, he's just retiring. So I think he's just saying anything he wants right now. He mentioned
Ian Wright was literally like, what'd you guys say to him? And they're like, nothing. He's like, oh, he just said it to you? He just said it to you? And he's like, yeah.
But like...
I love Wrighty.
You know, it's again, one of those things where I'm going to close this out. I'm going to piss Dylan off right now because he's like, why are you complaining about this? Because I'm Wolves in your city. I'll piss you off again right now. I'm at the lowest I've been in a long time right now. But guess what? I'm not counting this team out. I'm not counting this team out. I'm not counting Pep out. This does eerily look like the season we lost to you guys, but I'm not counting them out. You know, we'll be there, hopefully. That's how.
Sorry
it is.
For that loud sound. I just smacked my phone in anger. Nah. Hey, shout out Jamie Carragher, only guy who had a response ready.
Yeah, let's shout out Jamie Carragher. Great. Love to see it.
Round of applause. Round of applause for you, James.
Look, it wasn't just City's play that made me feel like shit. Your boy also went 2-8 this week because I was too afraid to pick anything but a draw. And that's not me. When we first started doing this, I was team, don't even pick a draw. I picked 5 draws last week. I went 2-8. Michael, 8-2? Still in the lead, actually extending the lead. I will say this right now, and I hope it is a mush. You won. You already won this. You are 91-59 right now.
Listen, I will say, I will never approach these predictions like I'm trying to win something. I'm approaching every single game like I'm trying to get that game correct. So I will never say I'm just going to pick the highest likelihood and the same games as somebody else so I keep the same lead. I won't do that.
Yeah.
You're in first. Always a shot.
You're in first, 91-59. Nick has now passed me in second again, 83-67. I am 82-68, which going 2-8 actually is pretty impressive. Dylan, still a solid 75-75. Bottom of the barrel, bottom of the basement. Let's get into our predictions and close this pod out just because this has been just a sob story for myself. The week opens. Palace is hosting Liverpool. Who you got?
Liverpool. I just saw Bournemouth take them apart. I hope to God we can just do the same thing.
Yeah, I got the Reds as well. As much as, you know, if City goes down, Palace is probably my next best team. Brighton, they're going to host Burnley. Another battle of the bees, not the animal. I got Brighton in this one.
Yeah, Burnley not good.
Burnley not good. Confirmed not good. United hosting Bournemouth. Who you got?
Who you got?
Who you got?
I really want to take Bournemouth, weirdly. But I'm going to go with United. I think they looked pretty good. I think they found a stopgap for right now. I don't think it's going to work long term. But I think for right now, they figured a little something that could work. And I think Bournemouth is running a little bit too hot.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be close. It'll be a 1-0 or 2-1, I think.
I got United as well. Like, what you just said is exactly how I feel. Sheffield at home with Brentford. Chris Wilder, second game. I got Brentford. Who you got?
Brentford.
Yeah. Wolves Forest. I think another one that's going to be close, especially if the new manager bounce is going to go the Forest way. Who you got in this one?
I feel like we're just going to pick the same games here. I got Wolves.
Yeah, I got Wolves too. We'll see. I think there might be a little toss-up here. Maybe not. Great minds do think alike. Villa, they're hosting Arsenal. I get to go first on this one.
Yeah.
Villa. You kidding me?
I can't not pick Villa.
Yeah.
At home. So it's almost too good to actually happen, which is why I'm scared a little bit. At home to the team you lost last to at home for the club record 15 in a row home winning streak. For the story, I just want it to happen, so I got Villa.
Yeah, a little side note too. When I talked to Spencer, the guy from the New York City Sky Blues Man City team, the Villa game, they had all four trophies at the bar. Only club to ever have it at the bar, and he kept telling me, he's like, you gotta come. And like in my head, I was like, you do not want me there. This will not end well. We're going
to
lose.
Go to this one.
No. Because if they lose this one, I know it's me. If we don't beat... I told Ian this, and we'll get to this. If we don't beat the Fighting Ross Barkleys, cancel the season. I'm over. I'm done. Anyway, we both got Villa. Everton-Chelsea, another good game. Another close one. Who you got in this?
Give me Everton.
Me too. Yes. Yes. Same.
I don't even care. I honestly don't care. I picked Chelsea last week. They fucking torched me losing to United.
Yeah.
So I'm back off it. I'm weaning myself back off.
We're miles off it. Fulham, West Ham. I got West Ham in this one, even though it's at Fulham. It'll be a close game, but I'm taking West Ham. Who you got?
West Ham.
Luton. They're going to host City. I obviously got City, man. Like I just said, if we lose to the Fighting Ross Barkleys, or if we don't beat, if we draw to fucking Luton, to the Fighting Ross Barkleys, I'm done. Cancel me.
I want to pick a draw so bad. No, Rodri's back, right?
Yeah, Rodri's back.
Okay. I'll pick City.
So we're 9-for-9 going into this last one. Tottenham hosting Newcastle. And based on our conversation, I think we're going to pick the same thing for this one as well. Who you got?
I got Spurs.
Same. Newcastle, yikes. Like you just said, four straight games, same lineup. This will be the fifth. It's on short rest. Even if they do switch it up, it's a game of attrition at this point because Tottenham has so many people out. It's like their second string, then maybe versus the most tired first string in all of the Premier League or Newcastle second string, which isn't very good. Like, I think Tottenham get a win on at home. So, that's what I got.
And again, this is the other thing, too. They lost to Newcastle, lost to Bournemouth at Bournemouth, beat Chelsea and Man United at Newcastle.
Yeah.
Go on the road to a team they definitely should be beating. I mean, you know, Everton's actually good, we found out this week. Lose at home, or at Everton. At Spurs this time, Spurs need a win. They need something right now. Yeah. So I'm going Agreed. Spurs.
Agreed.
5-5 week incoming.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we go 10-0. I'll take it.
That'd be sick.
I want to be 40 games over 500 at some point this year, and I think I can do it. So, all right. That's predictions. No bets. I'm hoping that everyone will be back normal schedule next week for us, and you'll be able to hear the beautiful voices of the Tuckers again. Michael, parting words. Get us out of here with a joke, if you got one.
I got a joke in Jeopardy format.
Love it.
What is Manchester City?
Treble winners.
A joke.
I see ya.
The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.